Greg's car shopping. And since he lives in Florida, your marketing's probably pushing something a little sporty. Too bad you don't know he's planning a move to Alaska. Turns out, marketing without a clear picture of your customer is like driving a convertible in the Arctic. A bad idea. Learn how TransUnion's 360-degree view of customer identity is bringing clarity to marketing chaos through deeper insights, smarter reach, and precise measurement at transunion.com/clarity.
Off the Ball Rugby.
Pretty incredible. Only Johnny Sexton really could do this. So look, I know he was a de facto coach anyway. You know, I would imagine there's a few coaches out there whose noses are probably out of joint by this.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Thursday morning, welcome along. Meath's Mark Ward is going to join us at 8 o'clock. He was on the field at the end in 2010. May have had some interaction with some Louth fans after Meath, you know, beat Louth. But did they actually beat them? How do we tell the truth about that game all these years later? Charlie Morgan is going to talk to us about the Lions at 8:30. And then we are putting two legends of the game together around about 9 o'clock to reflect on the fact that it's been a while since we've seen Donegal against Armagh in a game of this stature. Last time that these two teams played in, when was that? 2003. Was an epic struggle when the reigning All-Ireland champions were Armagh against the Donegal side, who disappeared until Jim McGuinness came back. And McGuinness is back again. The third coming. Colm, good morning to you.
Hiya, Ed.
Dara, good morning to you.
Hello, lads. How's it going?
Where do you want to start today? Because is it poor Mikel Arteta, or should we talk about Cork and the Scorts? You pick.
I'll go Cork and the Scorts.
Well, Cork and the Scorts. Front page of the Sun. You can stick your Scorts. Teams have a protest at final. Both sides to only wear shorts. Camogie players will all wear shorts in a crunch final, even if it gets the match abandoned. I haven't heard this morning yet if it's going to be a referee brave enough to abandon this game. Or an association brave enough to abandon the game. Because that would be like, that'd be taking a gun and shooting both your feet off. Mm. And sawing, hacksawing them off slowly in front of the whole world.
You see, I think the game will go ahead this weekend with shorts worn. The real decision then is what they do after that.
Well, Genie's out of the bottle. Yeah. Like, oh, you let them play, you know, Dublin Camogie County Board just decided the other night. Off you go. On you go. On you go.
Yeah.
Play away. We don't care. And everybody wore shorts.
I wouldn't even say brave enough. I would say stupid enough to go against this movement now. And like, as for anyone that's arguing against this or think they can tell them what they should wear, or tell women what they should wear, it's just like, who do you think you are? Like, it's just such a bizarre take.
But Dara, what about tradition, and don't they look much better in the Scorts?
Tradition has done so much for this country.
It's a great thing, tradition. Sure, it got us where we are.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's absolutely insane. But it's good to see that. I think the momentum is there now, so hopefully it's resolved after this weekend.
You must be very proud as a Cork person that they're actually living up to the whole Rebels moniker, which, you know, frequently over the last two decades has been a bit of a millstone around the neck.
Oh, do you think so?
Certainly the men's teams, anyway. Oh. Women's teams are always just hoovering up All-Ireland at a regular rate.
What does Rebels mean to you?
It means we look forward to representing ourselves, our clubs, our counties and our supporters in Saturday's Munster final. We will not be making any further media comment ahead of the game as our concentration is focused on putting on our best possible performance. We'll be at the Rag in Tipperary with the intention of getting the better of each other in the field of play. We'll be togged out wearing shorts. That's our choice. Ends. It's a rebellious statement. Screw you, buddies. We've made our decision and we're sticking to it. Strike. Strike. That's what it means.
It's good, like, it's a good statement. Yeah. See, I think that what happened here, I'd say the Camogie Association didn't even think twice about this when they rejected the notion of Shorts and just moved on with their lives and have sleptwalked into this week. And now it is too late. But I also feel like they're not going to be too bothered about it and they're just going to let this happen now. Shorts from now on. We're like, okay, fine.
But ultimately, that's exactly what you should do.
Yeah, but I think they will because they just didn't get ahead of it quickly enough and now they can't. And they're just going to be like, okay, they're just going to shrug their shoulders and move on. And I feel like this story will die very quickly, but maybe even this time next week, we're just going to allow Shorts to play.
It's a very bad showing for them, though. And like, it was just such a bizarre
lesson,
thing.
The lesson learned, they missed. Like, it was back there, and they missed it.
This should have been righted a long time ago, but they had the chance there a few days ago, and they came out with that statement. It's just like, oh, what are you doing? Just make the right decision.
I just don't think they're used to having to do something like that in the Camogie Association, where they have to really make a big call on behalf of their players and something that's going to reach the public consciousness across the country. I think they're inexperienced with that. And usually what's probably the first PR error that people make is they're not proactive enough and then it's too late.
Sean O'Connolly was on last night with Owen. I don't know if you heard the interview, but they went through the whole detail of their proposal, which went to Congress, and their experience of lobbying at Congress, and just the weirdness of someone saying, I think they look better. It's like, who cares what you think? Like, if that's the first thing you reach for, that's creepy and weird. It's just creepy and weird.
That is.
And all this men interfering in what women's choice is, is creepy and weird.
And also,
stop being creepy and weird.
Even without those words used, right? Even if it's not creepy and weird.
It is.
Don't
know
what I'm saying. I'm agreeing.
But we should call these things what they are, as opposed to like
dancing
around the issue. A bunch of men deciding what women wear is creepy and weird.
I'm saying that that's all true. But even its most basic form, it's just a subjective thing to say from someone who's not directly involved. That's all it is. Like, there's no, it's not like there's a scientific fact and study done in the form of Tess Howard that, like, oh, these skorts actually improve play. The rationale for keeping the skorts, they look better.
Yeah.
There's no science.
There's two sides to it. There's the, would you say, perverted side to it, where it's like, why do you care what people wear and women wear? But then there's also the thing of, like, this is just so stupid. Like, it just makes no sense.
If Gianni Versace came in and said, I have a view on this, I'd be like, okay, I can listen to, you know, you spent your entire life enmeshed in fashion.
That would be great.
And, you know, but at the same time, while I respect what you say about the fashion side of it, it's got literally nothing to do with the playing of the sport, which is supposed to be about creating participation, boosting numbers and making people happy. That's why we play sport, is to make people happy.
Do you think the naysayers are afraid that, oh, this will be the start of it now, and then you'll be allowed to wear what you want on the pitch?
Yeah, maybe.
And nobody will be uniform at all, and that you'll only be able to pass to a teammate because you recognise their face.
I just think they're behind the times and they're a bit backwards, to be honest. I mean, it's as simple as that. There's much more to it.
There's been a lot of that in our country, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Back in my day, piercings, to be taken out, you could put a plaster over them for a while, but then that had to go too.
What do you mean, had to go?
Take them off entirely.
Well, that's the right thing.
Don't wear anything.
Do you not remember?
Well, people, you know, they would say, remember, like, footballers, you'd see back in the day, they used to wear chains. They used to have heavy chains underneath their jersey.
Just off the 90 book.
The World Cup Italia 90. They did features on all the players, right? Like legendary players, player biographies. I'm fairly sure, maybe it was Mexico 86 one. But there's a story, do you know who Neri Pumpido is? Oh, here it is, Neri Pumpido. This scarred me for life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neri Pumpido's genius and goal earned him 2 world championship titles in 1 year, but his look before you leave style doesn't always endear him to the fans. So he's the Argentina goalkeeper. And there's a line in this. If I'm not wrong. Oh, it's not there. Can't find it.
It's a rendition. What was it?
His wedding ring. Oh, as double world champion, Pumpido brought his career through an agonising accident when he nearly ripped a finger off after catching his wedding ring on a rusty hook behind a crossbar. Surgeons sewed the nerves and skin back together, leaving both Pumpido's hand and career intact.
He'd not wear gloves.
Well, he had gloves, yeah. But so, piercings and rings, take them off.
You brought this up. This has scarred me since I read this as a child in 1990.
Because you could visualise it.
Can you not visualise the finger hanging off? The slow, steady stitching. Do you have time to get an anaesthetic? You probably don't. If you're lucky, there's a little shot of something in the hand, which is already screaming and writhing in agony. The finger dangling, someone having to go over and put it in ice. Yeah. Hand bleeding, like can't staunch it. But if you staunch it, you won't be able to stitch it back.
There's a fella in Cork who climbed over an astro fence with a big on and caught it on the way down. That haunted me through that visual.
Got a bit sidetracked.
But so this is the piercings, jewellery, right, and the chains, like
an expression of identity.
Symbol of individual expression. Yeah. Like, so I play better if I wear all this stuff. And it would say back in the day, in the 1990 World Cup and beyond, you have players wearing chains underneath jersey. They'd be like bouncing as they run. That's kind of gone now.
Do you think Paul Mescal played with the chain when he was playing for Kildare?
No.
Kildare's greatest last footballer. Well, or any of the rugby players. Will I do the, will we do some Arsenal?
Yeah.
Eiffel Power. Vava Gloom as Ruiz and Hakimi see off Gunners is the back of the Sun. Good night Paris for Gunners as PSG prevail is the headline in the back of the Indo. The Examiner. Parisian night heartbreak for Arsenal as PSG set up interfinal slowdown. Art break. Art ache are the headlines in the back of the Star and the Mirror. And then Gunners are floored. It's after Bukayo Saka. Do you think Saka scored that? Because there's a bit of, there's just a little, there's still a quirk in PSG that I think makes Inter slight favourites for me to win the game. That if Saka had scored and equalised on the night and only put them one behind, that there would have been a charge.
I think all the English teams have proven that you can get at Paris Saint-Germain. Aston Villa nearly did, very nearly did. Liverpool also did. And I thought the game was over. I think we all did when Hakimi scored last night, but then straight away, Saka scores. And had they finished that, you never know. But I mean, what's really interesting here, but I'm going to get to it, is Mikel Arteta saying that Arsenal are a better side.
Gunners left singing the blues is the headline on the I paper. Arsenal mastered in Paris and missed out on Champions League final. Mastered, I haven't heard that one. Is that like some kind of weird... you know, sorry, I'll let you fill in the rest of the block. Mikel Arteta, you want to?
So,
Arteta's getting hammered for being Mikel Arteta. Let's let the people make up their own minds. There's a bit of the post match, immediate post match. Are we playing the whole thing?
The whole thing, yeah.
No, I think you should listen to like you're going to take the headline from this. I know you are, and you're going to beat the head off Mikel Arteta for being Mikel Arteta. But he's like, anyway, have a look. A man in trauma.
Kel, the journey ends here tonight. What are your initial thoughts after that?
Well, first of all, congratulate PSG for reaching the final. The assessment, I will make it when I'm a little bit cooler. But the feedback that I got straight away from their bench is that we're much better than them. When you look at the two games, who has been their best player on the pitch? He's been their goalkeeper. He's made a difference for them in the tie. And I think we were very close, much closer than our results showed. But unfortunately, we are out. I'm very proud of the players, what we've done today, the way we started, how we handled the pressure, the amount of pressure. After 20 minutes, it should be 3-0. But there is something extra that you need in the competition to go your way, and it didn't.
Are you proud of the fact that it's the second season in the Champions League, quarterfinals, semi-finals? What ultimately might get you over the line potentially next season?
I don't know, I'm upset. And we should not be. Yeah, we were very close. Yes, for long periods of both games, we were much better than them. But we are not there, and that has to hurt. And if we don't want, if we want to win this competition and go there, we need to realize that. And there are certain things that are on us. And you shouldn't be just understanding that we are out. It's not the way I look at it.
Are you happy or have you seen enough progress with your team this season?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think there's been a better team in the competition so far, what I've seen. But we are out tonight. We deserve much more, I think, in both games. But this competition is about the boxes, and in the boxes there are normally the strikers most of the time and a goalkeeper, and he was the best player in both games.
Ultimately, what do you want to do over the summer to make changes or add to get further?
I'm so proud of the boys and what they deserve a lot of credit for what they're doing in the context and the situation, and with the amount of injuries we have arrived here, probably in the worst state that you can arrive as a team. You have to get here with everybody fit, available, with a lot of minutes, with rest, like they had a week. We come here in a completely different context and still do that. So that gives me a lot of positivity for the future. But tonight I'm very upset.
And Mikel, thank you for talking to us anyway.
Yeah, Arsenal, they're a bit Leinster light, aren't they?
What does that mean?
What a dick. Pardon me. Go on.
You know, they're always challenging right to the very, very end. And then when it really comes to it,
2018, Leinster actually won the competition.
2020, Arsenal won the FA Cup.
The Champions League.
If Arsenal had
won this Champions, a more recent trophy, yeah. They could have won the Carling Cup, or they might have won a pre-season Dublin tournament.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Carling Cup. The Carabao Cup, right, they've reached, that's one of the many semi-finals they've reached under Mikel Arteta.
Come on, Ulster!
But they've lost the last four. They've lost the last four two-legged semi-finals under Mikel Arteta. You know, when it really, really comes to it. And then the other side of it, the reason that they're like Leinster in a good wager is that they're very consistent under Mikel Arteta. Very. They're on track to finish second for the third season in a row. They're going to finish second in the Premier League. They're on track for that. They've reached a number of semi-finals. They're just a kind of a worse version of Leinster.
Well, Leinster tend to finish top of the league. So if it was like the Premier League, they would have won God knows how many at this stage.
They haven't, though.
But then Arsenal, when are they ever in the Champions League semi-final? It's not very often, so you can't really, they're not really comparable.
No, it's a stupid trying to twist the knife comparison that everybody's seeing through. It's opaque.
It's not at all.
It's sheer. What about Mikel Arteta's claim that they were the best team in the competition?
You would have Leo Cullen say that.
I like the way he couched it in. The bench told me.
Yeah, they told us.
Yeah, the big boys.
I'm not saying it.
My statisticians tell me that we were the better team.
They're very consistent. They're a really good side under Arteta. That's the thing. And again, they're a bit like Leinster. They're in purgatory about what to do next. Because it's not you can't sack Arteta.
David Raya saves the penalty.
He shouldn't go.
Donnarumma is the best player in. Like, Donnarumma played well, but none of the shots were brilliant. You had your definition of world class save. I'm not sure.
If the shot goes in, you want to blame the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it seems like lots of shots will go in because the goals are actually quite big compared to the human frame.
If
you stand the goalkeeper at the post, for example, and look at the rest of the goals, you're like, okay, it's actually balanced in favour of the striker.
What's your point?
My point is that I don't think that many of Donnarumma's saves were truly world class. He played well.
The Martin Odegaard save was phenomenal. Absolutely incredible save.
David Raya saves a penalty as well. The notion that they were like by far the better team, they were already behind. And so they had to make all the running in the game last night. And that's why they come out for the first 20 minutes. And you just feel like they're going to get done here if they don't score. And sure enough, they don't score and they get done. Like, there were multiple chances that PSG had in that first half where if it had been 3-1 at halftime to PSG and Arsenal had scored first, you'd be like, yeah, that was the balance of play, but it wasn't. And I think that they clearly screwed up last summer by not getting a warm body in as the striker.
Yeah.
And there's millions of them. And this year,
there's actually not a lot of strikers that they could get that could really improve him. There's a limited list, and for whatever reason, Arteta is very picky about who to bring in.
Well, so that's,
he has
that's
had
his
options,
problem.
And he hasn't. But we know that. We've talked about that all season.
But
I think their tactic last night was very interesting at the start. They had 11 throw-ins to the box. They bombarded PSG's area. They played like it was the last 10 minutes of the game, not the first 10 minutes.
Do you think that was just developed during the week? Partey comes back. Partey couldn't run, so they're like, here, just practice your throw-ins there.
Felt fresh. Felt very fresh. And PSG nearly collapsed under it, under that pressure. So there were three opportunities for Arsenal to score in that time. So Declan Rice misses a good opportunity with the header after 3 minutes. Martinelli has a shot from about 6 yards out, volley, which was saved by Donnarumma. That was fine. It was straight at him. The Odegaard save was remarkable. Comes through a body of players, can't see it. Brilliant shot. Going into the near post. He's a big boy, Donnarumma. He got down quickly, parried it around the post. Even the strength of the shot could have got under his hand.
This is the one that broke his shoulder to the point where he has to take a 5-minute break, so we all know we can rewatch replays of. Have they showed the replay 5 times? Okay, I can get up now. Was that incident? Is that the one you're talking about?
I don't know, but anyway, it was the Odegaard shot. And like I thought the Jan Sommer save the night before from Lamine Yamal in extra time was going to be the best save of the week. Donnarumma was world class.
Yeah.
No right to save it. And then I think what happened then, you know, despite Arsenal's dominance, the closest opportunity was Kvaratskhelia hitting the post after 70 minutes, which is the first thing that PSG really did properly in the game. And like Arteta's right in the point that like they did really, I obviously disagree with them saying they're the best team in the competition or even the best team over the two legs on the night. But they have done well because PSG are a much superior side to them. They hung in there. And that's why PSG do have flaws, big flaws. But when they get going, there's no one can touch them.
Yeah,
and Arsenal found that out last night.
Like PSG are very much in the forming stage of what it is that their identity is going to be. This is the first season they've been free of all the
superstars. Yeah, and they're already
the superstars.
Superior to Arsenal in that, who have been together for a long time.
I mean, you could make the case that Luis Enrique was a bit more like Leo Cullen last night when he dropped Dembele from the start of the game. But
that doesn't suit the narrative because
they won the game. You're
borrowing my own line to you, which is on WhatsApp after 10 minutes being like...
They won the game.
You know, my colleague over there, Dara, is acknowledging it. I was a witness to it, me saying...
Yeah, but you didn't bring it to air because they won the game.
So exactly.
If Leicester
done the job, we'd be talking differently this week.
But they didn't do the
job. And Arsenal didn't do the job. And hence is what we were discussing this.
Why did he do that?
Why did he leave them
on the bench?
When Dembele got warmed up at the start of the second half,
yeah, the
huge
crowd,
ovation from the
Messi getting off
came
the bench.
Through the television.
Again, was there more disciplinary issues that we don't know about? Like, you never quite know what the crack is with this. So maybe he just has decided that he needs to put a shot across his bows for the rest of the season. Because, like... Ivan McGann said he wasn't fully fit.
Ah.
But
well, that's totally fair enough then.
Yeah.
That ends that debate. He wasn't fit. Okay. But they were fine without him in the end. But Inter can be satisfied with this.
Oh, very, very much so. I think either way Inter were gonna be satisfied. Like they have the nous, they've got the recent experience, you know, they know exactly what it's going to take to get it done. Arsene Wenger always used to say, everyone thinks they have the prettiest wife at home. It'd be good for Arteta to listen to that and go, maybe I just need to not come out and say we were the best team after we've been beaten.
I'll tell you what. I'm glad to see Bobby Dwyer back in the comments. It's been a while since we saw Bob. And Bobby wouldn't be the biggest fan of Mikel Arteta. But I would say there was some strange, unusual sense of self-awareness by Arteta last night, by saying, like, I'm pretty angry here. Kind of Shane Lowry at the Masters, I'm kind of going to say something stupid. So kind of acknowledged it before he went on to say what he said. I think they're in a very difficult position now, Arsene, about what to do next, because a bit like Leinster, I could see the exact same thing happening next year. And they would have to make a big decision to change that. And why would you change something that is overall working quite consistently well? Whereas PSG, if anything, any clunky comparison they're going to have is with the Cork hurlers, is that they fly out of the traps, are at some point in the game they're going to have 15 minutes where nobody in the world can touch them. But if you hang in with them, you have an opportunity.
Greg's car shopping. And since he lives in Florida, your marketing's probably pushing something a little sporty. Too bad you don't know he's planning a move to Alaska. Turns out, marketing without a clear picture of your customer is like driving a convertible in the Arctic. A bad idea. Learn how TransUnion's 360-degree view of customer identity is bringing clarity to marketing chaos through deeper insights, smarter reach, and precise measurement at transunion.com/clarity.
Yeah, it looks like, in terms of experience, Inter are well-designed for that. But if you were to go... wide players against pace, you'd think Inter having a hope. So it'll be very interesting to see. It's going to be a fascinating encounter. It could be one of those boring nil-alls.
Yeah, I think that's a good word for it. I think it will be fascinating. I'm very much looking forward to that final about the change-up
really
in styles.
It's a 4-3 classic. I just wanted off the wall breakfast with UPMC, orthopedic care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
I'm not sure, right? And someone can answer me this out there. I don't think Inter and PSG have ever played each other competitively in a game. And it was actually my buddy brought this to my attention last night too, and then I thought about it myself. I can't find any example. If anyone can, pre-season friendlies aside now in America or whatever, I don't think they have. Andrew, you'll be fascinated by this. You ready? You ready for this? First time since the Champions League final of 2004 when Jose Mourinho's Porto beat Monaco.
That no winner. Or
an English, German or Spanish side haven't been in the final. Some would have not.
No.
novelty about this one.
The home fans in the France-Ireland game, which was obviously in Paris Saint-Germain's home stadium, were amazing. And I wonder what the crossover is between the Paris Saint-Germain ultras and whether or not they decided to show up to watch France stroll through a victory against Stephen Kenny's Ireland. But they were class, and hopefully they'll be the same for the final. The Inter fans were class for the game that they lost in the Champions League final a couple of years ago. So it's all setting up well for Munich at the end of the month.
Yeah, it really is. Who's going to get the where the away jersey? It'll be a big one as well. A big one. But where do Arsenal go from here, Ger?
Sign a striker. Yeah. It's very straightforward.
And that's it. That's as simple as.
Well,
easier fix than Leinster.
Like, sign a striker. You need to sign a striker. And you need to sign two strikers. And you probably need to sign three strikers. And rotate the hell out of them and find out which one suits the style of play best. Like, they had some brilliant, brilliant players. They have the bones of a really, really good team. And you have to think that maybe there's Liverpool come slightly off from last season. Maybe Chelsea improve. What's the new City going to be like?
Yep.
Will they start the season minus points?
Yep. I'm telling you, look, Arsenal are very nearly there on paper. They've a good goalkeeper. They've an excellent array of full-backs on both sides. I'd say they need more centre-back cover beyond the two boys.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Gabriel's injured. They probably Kvyat has done a good job. He's done better than I thought he was going to do in the Real Madrid games and these games. But they could do a cover. They could probably do a cover in central midfield after the three lads.
Not a fullback though. Is he actually? Do you play him somewhere else? Is he? Are they going to turn him into Trent? And actually, he could be
possibly. Yeah, but he'll be playing on that side anyway. And then, but yeah, it's up front. Everyone knows this. And then that could be it. That could be it for Arsenal. They're so close, but at the same time, you look at their style of play. And last night, outside of set pieces or pot shots,
you said other lad was Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons' career. Yeah. Collapsed.
Simmons, it was drafted to the 76ers in 2016, wasn't, but didn't play until 2017. I can't remember which pundit it was in the NBA, but he basically said, LeBron, you can retire now. We have Ben Simmons. We'll be fine. And then Ben Simmons had a couple of great seasons, class player, and then just kind of, yeah, like you say, collapsed. Like, he has all the talent in the world, but just can't seem to execute what he should be able to do. Felt like that with Odegaard over the whole Champions League campaign. It's just like, geez, he is so good, but he just won't take a shot. Or, well, he took a shot last night, obviously, the volley. The
no, but there was a moment afterwards where he turned down an opportunity to shoot.
What's wrong with him? Like, it's like a mental block there. And you're like, you're so good at football.
So with Lars Sivertsen, you know, his compatriot called him last week on with us saying, what was the word he used to describe him? Neat? Handy? Yeah. Definitely that area of description. You know, damned by faint praise. Like,
you wanted him to be less Norwegian, more Portuguese.
Yes, well, yeah, that was one of the, but there was a specific word. But yeah, but look, I don't know. Like, Arsenal massively missed Odegaard when he was missing earlier on in the season. Remember that? And he came back from injury, and the first game was away to Chelsea, and he was very good. But maybe he hasn't reached a level that he had prior, because he was one of their top scorers. Was it last season? He scored 15 goals in the Premier League, or the year before. So he has been a vital component for them. But yeah, like, he's. Look, maybe Arteta is a very good symbol of this Arsenal, is that he's very, very good.
Odegaard,
sorry, yeah. But doesn't quite reach the great level.
But I think he has been at that level where he's not world-class, but he's not far off it. Like, he could play in most teams in the world, but he's at his best.
Real Madrid took a big punt at him.
He's nowhere near that level right now.
The thing is, if you have a really well-organised team and a dedicated style of play that everybody understands and a bit of tactical nuance, you don't need 11 world-class players on your side, because like, you're not actually ever going to have that. He just needs a bunch of players who can be very functional. He is at a level where you can certainly be an important part of the team, but like, Saka probably has potential to be that. I mean not to get all the promise of youth and all that, but Lewis Skelly looks amazing. So
yeah, well,
they're
look,
not far away.
There were moments last night where definitely his age was apparent, like, or his lack of experience at that level, but yeah, he's unbelievable. Their three best players, Rice, Odegaard, Saka. I would say I'd be interested to hear other candidates there. Saka, I talk about coming back from injuries. He's been unbelievable since he returned after 3 months away. But then you look at Martinelli on their side. I don't know what's happened to Martinelli.
Well, Gabriel's probably in their best players, best, most important players conversation, isn't he? Now, would he be there? I don't know.
That's when we're going through the Arsenal squad. It's very good. But I don't know what's happened with the rest of the forwards. And Gabriel Jesus as well is never going to get you a goal. And they're close, but lifting a trophy of significance seems to be very far away. Like, look at the last four semi-finals. Can't get by that. I don't know if it's mental or if they're just not good enough.
The pressure is not the same in the Carling Cup. It doesn't count when you're there on the day, but random bits of information to what they've been doing.
They lost 4-0 to Newcastle in the two legs of the semi-final of Carabao Cup.
They had bigger fish to fry this season.
I think they do care.
The temperature. I think they do.
You're picking and choosing who it matters to win these trophies.
Okay. Yeah. But like, they'd be overjoyed with we won a trophy. But it's all fake. Like, for a club like Arsenal, this is the trophy that matters. Listen, and the Premier League is the trophy that matters.
You have no time to celebrate any of these things. Atletico Madrid won La Liga in 2014, and then a week later they play the Champions League final and they lose. And it doesn't change anything. You have to go back and play it again the next season. If any time a team should have taken a year off was the 2016-17 season for Leicester. Was it you just won the league? Like, they've nowhere to go now.
They did, right? You play in the Champions League the next season. Yeah.
I think that's the quarterfinal of the Champions League. But no one has time to celebrate these trophies or it means anything. They go on to the next thing.
Well, Newcastle did.
It's about winning it.
They had a parade. Newcastle had a massive parade and they've actually bounced.
And now they're back and they're going to get to the Champions League.
Yeah, and they might qualify. Okay, so this is Will O'Callaghan's stat from last night. First time in 28 years that Dublin won't have a team in a Leinster football final at senior 21 or 20 or minor in the men's. Second time in 50 years. It'll be a salty enough county board meeting the next time there's a delegates from the county board. Is it no John Costello, no party? Is that the story? That they took their eye off the tiller in recent years? Or does it matter?
I'd say the most tempting time to lose focus is when they're at your greatest. Look at the last decade with Dublin. It was like, look at this conveyor belt of talent. Those words were used so regularly in the last decade to describe Dublin. They're coming from everywhere. And I guess, you know, when are you most motivated? When you're nearly there, but not quite there.
Yeah. You're saying the last of hunger.
I don't think there's any doubt, really, is there?
So the minor team are infected somehow by...
Culture, man, isn't it? Starts from the top, works its way down.
How do you feel as a Kildare man? Is this like just a... Just the gates are
sad.
Open.
Sad.
Yeah.
No Dublin. Sad. I think it's a quirk of a weird season. I don't know what happened, but Louth did absolutely annihilate the Dubs last night. They was 217 to 14 points, I think.
Yeah.
217 to 1-8.
Jeez.
Awfully beat Kildare in the other semi-final. That's a hammering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't have happened too often.
That is a paddling.
Anybody out there with... an interest in Dublin football or any other counties want to take a lap of honour?
The people really want to talk about Arsenal. We know this, right? They really want to lap up that led by Bobby. However, lads, I don't think we've mentioned it yet. We're half an hour in. It's Lions announcement squad day. And that's extremely...
Lions day, lads.
Yeah. It's incredibly exciting for me and for you. Did you want to do the Saints video first? Or do you want to do the team first?
Yeah, so Northampton Saints on their official channels. What do they really think of Leinster? Well, not much, turns out. Have a look.
Everyone said Leinster by 40, 50 points. Yeah. Three!
The other thing we spoke about before, two things we spoke about before. One, it's not about cats. It's not about appearances or British on. It's about f***ing heart. Fair play to you, lads. Fair f***ing play. You showed tons of both of those. You worked your tail off. You believed. You did all that, and it's f***ing gold. And we'll pick up the pieces. And the second thing is, Dean's mentioned it. It's all about connection. It runs through our DNA. They're not like us.
They're not like us. That was the bit. That was the theme. Of the video. They're not like us. Leinster, not like us.
Now, could I
no bollocks, no hearts.
Could I defend no Phil there? They're not like us is just a general statement, isn't it? The rest of the world. It's Northampton Saints versus the rest of the world.
No, specifically when you watch the video.
He was pointing towards the Leinster dressing room.
I'm trying to in some way defend the man.
No, on the full video. We don't need to defend him. He's just won. He can say what he wants. Why are you defending him?
Well, from your rat.
There's no rat for me.
He's ringing you there.
I actually don't have that much of a problem with that at all. I think that's fine.
I don't have any problem with this.
All right. I thought you were very offended. I thought you were going to come in today.
Being offended when they've got Leinster needs to take this and listen.
Oh, like, right.
the specific bits were earlier in that.
Yeah.
They had another clip of which they had obviously been a theme of the week. They're not like us.
Yeah.
They've no connection. It's about bollocks and heart. And they were like Leinster, fancy Dans, and all the other derogatory terms that have been used. You can ask your grandparents about what would have been written about Leinster before they won their first title. That these are big shots. They've got all the caps. They've got all the blah, blah, blah. But there's nothing to them. The theme was that there was no connection, right?
Yeah, it seemed like they had identified something. Because obviously Northampton, quality-wise, are a good bit off what Leinster should be. So they obviously had to identify something that's not quite just on the
pitch. I'm not sure that's true, by the way, Darragh. Like they.
Well, I think that
they nearly won the game against them last year in a full Croke Park. Like
last year's team was much better.
It was.
And Leinster's team has gotten better since then. They were missing a lot of players.
You say last year's team was much better, but last year's team didn't have Pollock. Finn Smith was a year younger. Like, you know, you're on the basis that the end of Courtney Law's career is better than the start of a 20-year-old superstar.
I don't know. Just because of where Courtney was, but he's still a contender for Lions today. Like, he's a massive player and he was captain.
He's not a contender for Lions on form. That would be completely... Like, he just isn't a contender on form.
If he got selected,
selected, it would be a complete shock.
Okay, but he's up.
And he'd be ahead of loads of other better players. So, and like, the guy that also signed his name is just...
Augustus.
Yeah. He wasn't on the team last year.
He was.
Was he?
He was, yeah.
Like, it's not that different of a team, but the thing is they were missing several backs from their starting lineup. They're missing Furbank, they're missing George Hendy. So... It is pretty objectively not as good of a team as Leinster. Like, you can't. They've a South African World Cup winner, 2-time World Cup winner, one of New Zealand's best players, you know, and they've an unlimited amount of internationals, even on their bench. Like, there's no real comparison.
The Northampton team was that they've no connection, though. They're not, won't.
Well, do you think that Houghton had a point about Leinster?
Well, everybody who says something now, you've got to go... So if the opposition have identified something and they're banging on about it in the aftermath, we were correct about this thing that we said, then you have to go, well, what is it? What is it that they're accusing us of? You can't be like, what a bunch of clowns rubbing our faces. And you have to go, okay, well, what are they saying? And take that criticism and go, do we not have enough of a connection? Or is... Like, is the Leinster thing, because it's Leinster's job to prepare players to play for Ireland. It's Northampton's job to win things for Northampton. And if there's a breakdown there, if the Ireland players who play for Leinster are like, well, this is like, you know, our main thing and the thing we get most up for are going to be Six Nations, November, summer tours, World Cups. Then that might be an identity issue. There might be an identity problem.
I think
if they're talking about there's no connection, these players aren't like. I'm just interested to know really what they think and what they identified. Is it that they're not literally not that they're not connected in the way that the two props didn't come up at the same speed as Josh van der Fleer from the defensive perspective? Like, was it as simple as that, or was it actually something more fundamental about Leinster actually are suppliers of players to Ireland?
There could be a thing of like Leinster obviously. They might nearly be victims of their own depth because they tend to rotate players a lot. And those players that were playing last weekend, they probably actually haven't started that many games together, which is not ideal when you're going into
they started
the
Six Nations
system.
Games together. I don't buy this. You know, I know it's a different system and
different
style.
It's different.
It doesn't matter. They all know each other and they all came through the academy and they all played together millions of times.
It doesn't though, because like
millions of
it doesn't because you have like Bundy Aki could be thrown in there at one point, and then you have Mac Hansen at another point. But it doesn't matter. It adds up. It's crucial positions. Ty Byrne is thrown in there. Peter O'Mahony's there. Like, it does make a difference. It's not the same collection of players entirely. It doesn't matter anyway. They still should have won.
I'm just interested in that Northampton identified something specific.
It is interesting, and there is a reason they didn't win, and it's not because they're not good enough. So there has
absolutely
to be something else.
100%. It would be very interesting to see how many Leinster players are in the Lions squad today and if that game impacted, because we were going to get Darragh McNaughton's Lions 15 later on in the show.
Greg's car shopping. And since he lives in Florida, your marketing's probably pushing something a little sporty. Too bad you don't know he's planning a move to Alaska. Turns out, marketing without a clear picture of your customer is like driving a convertible in the Arctic. a bad idea. Learn how TransUnion's 360-degree view of customer identity is bringing clarity to marketing chaos through deeper insights, smarter reach, and precise measurement at transunion.com/clarity.